And that's why I wanted to talk about adjusting the mind. The mind, it is so powerful. I remember 20 years ago as these fast food outlets were popping up and you went in, especially on a Sunday, there was this degree of, you know, self-consciousness. People said, wait, yes, he can't cook, wait, she can't cook. And it was kind of like an embarrassment. And now we have Selena saying it is almost like a badge of honor. And, yes, you know, to go and to say you're buying fast food. So the mindset has gone 180. And now we need to bring it another 180 to get the 360 and get us back on track.
Get us back to where we were.
And One thing I wanted to suggest to parents here, and it's something I had done with a class previously, get your children into making simple things. Because when they get into junior school, in primary school, not secondary school, in primary school, they're going to have to do something what is called expository writing. And expository writing is where they have to explain how to do something. Mm. Now, one of the things that I did with a class I had before was I bought some Weet-Bix, you know, the round crackers, and I bought some peanut butter. I bought some peanut butter. We had some jam. We had actually made jam before in another class. So we had jam, we had peanut butter, and I said, okay, I told the parents, don't send them with any snack. We're making our snack today. So we made the snack. We made it, and everybody made their peanut butter. And they ate that. And parents told me, what did they have for snack? I said, well, they had crackers and peanut butter. They had crackers and jam. And parents said, but that ain't a real snack.
Yeah, a real snack is cheesies.
A real snack must come from a bag that keeps noise and you paint money Rapper for.
But we've been talking a lot about...
It's a mental issue. It's a block.
We've been talking a lot about food, but there's another end to food. And with that in mind, we have Anderson Cherry from Jose Jose, number one in the number two business. Good morning, and well, I should say good afternoon. It's just gone a minute. Afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome, Mr. Cherry. Mr. Cherry, are you there? Seemed to have flushed out to the system. We have to get him back on. We also joined on the line by Mr. David Simpson from ICAB and also from, I think, chairman of the FinAccess. Because in all of this, we got to talk about our finances and how to, you know, manage those finances, how to adjust. You can't spend the same way when you have less. It's just not mathematically possible. So let's say good afternoon and welcome. David Simpson, are you on the line?
I'm here, Corey. Morning.
Hi. Hi, good afternoon and welcome to you, sir. The floor is really yours. And as I said, we've been talking a lot about adjusting the mindset, but we want some practical ways that persons can make those adjustments. So the floor is yours, sir.
All right, thanks, Corey. I've been listening in for a little while to the conversation. I think everybody is referring to how things have changed. And I think we appreciate that the current crisis also brings additional changes. So I believe each individual has to assess their position and determine how they can adjust. I think in our brief conversation yesterday, you mentioned certain countries, but the reality is that we're in a situation where some people don't have anything to cut and contrive with. And so it really becomes an adjustment on how can you survive, how can you manage, how can you make ends meet? My concern in all of this financially is that I know many families, whether we're talking lower income or middle income families, who are already struggling in terms of the ability to save and have the level of savings that they would have had 10, 15 years ago. Now you have a situation where many people have been laid off in some of those income brackets, or some are not certain what is happening in terms of pay and in terms of when businesses will reopen and start to earn money. So I think from that point of view, a lot of individuals feel on their own trying to figure out how can I adjust, how can I survive. And even if you have savings available and you start to use those, after a while, that is going to run out. Mm-hmm. Now, I know even with the lower income people, Corey, and from where you sit with your day-to-day responsibility, you know, people have been coming to welfare, to the household mitigation unit and so on. And those are primarily people who have nowhere to turn. They have no income coming in. They're unemployed or they're laid off. And it's difficult even for them to make an adjustment because they need the basic necessities, which may be food first and foremost, and then maybe utilities and other necessities. So it's really a challenge right now for those who don't have. It is easier for those who may have some level of savings or reduced income, where they can prioritize and determine, well, today I will prioritize food and utilities. All of the comforts and the wants can go on pause for the time being, but at least I have enough income to help me handle the day-to-day responsibilities. So I would say the challenge, Corey, and each individual person's situation will be distinctly different, mm-hmm. But it is a real issue out there, whether you're looking at it from the point of view of where you sit at from that set, but you're looking at it from your end where you sit with the household mitigation unit, or you're looking at it from the welfare department or whichever institution you're dealing with.
Is it possible, though, and then one of the guests want to ask you a question as well, but I just want to jump this in quick before I forget. Is it possible, though, for every person to have some kind of mindset and mechanism to do at least a little bit of saving? I remember they watched a blog a time back, and they were saying no matter how poor you are, how little you have, you should be able to save some X amount of percentage. I can't remember. And some people say, in practical, you go use every cent when you're really poor. But is from your standpoint, your experience, your knowledge and training, is it really possible for anybody to be able to do some kind of small saving?
I think it is possible, Corey, but I think where the challenge is coming right now is that even where you have the mindset, sometimes the means don't present itself. And if you listen to any financial guru or advisor, they may tell you, yes, save first and then spend what is there after saving. Some people, however, just don't have that luxury. The other issue and challenge, I believe, is that saving right now has been made quite unattractive. Even if I had the mindset of saving and I balance, okay, put this on a bank account to get 0.1% interest, or I can use it to do something that I needed to do around the house, or to acquire some item, or to just simply do the necessities, buy food and pay bills and make ends meet. Saving all of a sudden is not attractive anymore. So I think that is also the other complication. But I think we have to face the reality that right now in our economy, and this is not a new thing for a number of years now, and I stress whether we're talking middle income or lower income families, the ability to save has been a significant challenge and near impossible for many people.
Yeah.
Go ahead. One of the guests wanted to say something. Please go ahead.
I was just agreeing with everything that he said. I think at the end of the day, it's very easy for a person to tell somebody to save, but even look at inflation or how much the goods have gone up in the supermarket. If a person was able to save before, they might not have been able to save now. Because, like, for instance, if a person is accustomed to spending $100 to buy certain items and the items have now gone up to $130 or even more than that, if they're not making any more money, that is the savings right there being cut out every time. So I think that is one of the major issues that we face, is that as things go up faster than people are making money, it becomes more difficult for them to save as well.
But I'm not saying that this is what it should be. I'm asking, I'm literally curious. If I don't in a situation like that, don't I look for a completely different brand or alternative that is significantly cheaper, even if I have to adjust my taste buds, my palate or whatever.
Yes.
And if I am spending $10 or I have $10, I save $1 and I make sure the $9 do. Or I have $1,000 and I make sure I save $100 and I make the $900 do. That's what I'm trying to say. Does it translate that way?
I don't believe that we don't have the mindset to save. I honestly don't. As a Barbadian people, I think historically that has been clearly demonstrated. There is an argument maybe that for some of the younger persons in society, that mindset may not be as strong and they are more a consumer type component of the society. But I think in large part, for lack of a better term, the more mature section of the population has had a saving mindset. Mm-hmm. Save and accept the challenges that I raised earlier. But I think in large part, a lot of things have come down to pure survival. And that is at the same time not to say that there aren't people that are able to put aside $100 or $200 a month and so on. Mm-hmm. But in terms of real saving, Mm-hmm. Are they able to put that down but then have to go take it back up in 2 months? Can mm-hmm. they they literally put it down and not go back to it for 12 months or 18 months? I'm not certain that that is necessarily the prevailing case across the country.
Great points. One of the things I recognize with saving too, saving is like a skill. I have some youngsters and some of them can save really, really, really well to the point where their parents have to borrow from them. And then some of them cannot save a dollar to save their lives. So saving is also a skill. It requires serious discipline to be able to... I got a guy who saved up for his entire jockey gear suit from helmet to boots, and they're not cheap. And he did that from school money. And I myself am impressed with him. It takes a level of discipline to be able to do so. Some quick WhatsApps, and then we go back to the lines. This one said, I was listening to the program. I kept hearing about not teaching new content now. My question is this a decision made by CXC? What if teachers review what was taught in terms 1 and 2, then content that teachers didn't teach is on the CXC exams? But not still, you're not in secondary school, but you are...
I'm no longer in secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer in secondary school, but the thing is that by the time we are getting into... This is, of course, this information I'm speaking of now is, whoa, Corey, 20 years old. But what I would say is that by the time you get to third term, you are just really in review anyway. For the most part, from the middle of second term, you really should be in review. So that if you're speaking specifically to CXC, there really shouldn't be any new topic that has to be introduced at this point in time. Mm-hmm. If there are new topics that you want to introduce, it's most likely going to be something that would be, you know, was going to come as an option anyway. So that you're just giving your students extra options to work with when they get into the exam. So I would say don't panic too much about the fact that the teacher is going over things at this point, because if the teacher believes that your student is ready for CXC by this time, because we actually did go, for the most part, to the end of the second term, for the most part, your child should be ready to sit the CXE without having to learn anything new.
I'll tag on this one. It says, good afternoon, Corey. My daughter is in fifth form at A secondary school and goes on to give the parish, so we got an idea of school it is. And there are no online classes being done with the children at this time. These children are supposed to sit CXC in June. Although I think CXC is sitting to decide if to put it in September. But anyhow, I wonder if the teachers are interested in these children's education. There's a comment from online. No, WhatsApp.
Well, one thing I would say about that, as I had pointed out before, there are some teachers who do not have devices. I do know, because there are some people who think that I'm still teaching secondary school, I do know that CXC themselves have actually put out a number of study guides for different subjects. So maybe they need to visit the CXC website and avail themselves of those study guides in the interim.
All right, we take a call. 12 minutes after noon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon.
Special good afternoon to you. Terry here, don't know what's there.
Oh, yes, Cherry. Thank you for coming back in. You wanted to talk about adjusting, so the floor is yours.
Yes, it is. No, you just got flushed out there, so. Good morning to the panel. First, I want to share a little bit that what I'm seeing on my advantage point here in the septic business. I'm seeing a large increase of overflow levels and choke at properties and stuff. In the past, we have a great percentage coming from schools and hotels and stuff, but that's no more because, you know, schools are closed, hotels are closed, and more children at home, more people at home and stuff. So we're seeing it mainly from apartment buildings and certain areas that have large groups of people people staying at home.
Mm-hmm.
So while we practice what the government have instructed us is staying at home, and we're doing more cooking at home and stuff, which I'm going to say to my chef, and I like to cook. So things that we need to do at home is, you know, like use less water while we are, while we are preparing our meals, while we are washing up, while we are washing down the sinks and stuff. While we obey in terms of what the health requirement is in washing your hands and because and sing the happy birthday song twice and stuff. I mean, let us, we could, I believe we could turn off the pipe, keep our hands lathering, and then wash the hands, some of the stuff. I also seen, Corey, from my advantage point, a lot of blockages in terms of the use of wet wipes and other materials in the sewer line. Mm-hmm. And while we have to continue to sanitize the areas, I want to encourage the people not to, or to dispose of the wet wipes in a different way. I mean, they could be better suitable in the garbage and not in the septic lines. And this will help minimize the blockages in the septic line. Also, the washing of clothes and stuff. I believe that they could, with the exception of the people that's on the front line, you know, like, wait till you have a whole load of clothes to then put them in the machine, the wash machine and stuff. This will help minimize the use of water. And other areas, you know, the other areas that are not getting water, then may be able to get some water too as well. That is my contribution today.
All right, thank you very much. You see, as I listen to you, Cherry, one of the things I recognize is that we are not just adjusting, but we need to upgrade. Because the whole idea of using less water, turning off the pipe, is a best practice, something we should have been practicing before. The whole issue of not putting things in the toilet that don't belong in the toilet is something that we should have been doing from before. So I like people to look at this as really an upgrade, we're upgrading, and really not just adjusting, so to speak. I want to read a couple of things here. I think we'll give the guests some things to respond to as well. I'll read all three together. And then you all could respond as you see fit. This one says, hello, Corey. Myself and my wife buy all those healthy options Selena mentioned and more. Lemons, ginger, turmeric. We drink plenty of water, sweet potato, etc., broccoli, spinach. But the street vendors are selling the fruits and vegetables much more expensive. Who do I buy from? I'll probably let David answer that one. This one says, teaching is still going on. If the country had to shut down this week, the fees for the private schools will still have to be paid. This says, I agree with Selena. People don't want to share. I agree. Flo and Digicel should step up to the plate now and distribute free Wi-Fi all over the country. What about the families that do not care for anything? When the computers they all are talking about is damaged, who will come and pay for it? The same family that couldn't afford to buy it in the beginning? Anybody can save. It's about mindsets. However, people will spend money on hair and nails and neglect to save, therefore depending on the government for help. Meanwhile, in COVID-19, savings will be a challenge. Corey, if the people are shown that they can save $1 a day and that's still something, they will do it. $30 a month, 12, in 12 months, $360 in a year. Start small and move from there. Yes, that's one WhatsApp. Anyhow, this one says, for the suggestion for the social distancing for the delivery of schoolwork, it says, look, put it in an envelope and post it. No social distancing necessary. Give them a date and when, in terms of when it needs to be finished, and leave it outside in a bag or a folder to be collected. There's always a way around things. Not everyone has access to PCs. There are children in the UK without Wi-Fi and computer equipment, and this is working just fine. Over to you, panel. Who wants to go first? Step right up.
That's above my pay grade at this point.
I don't know how that would make sense, though. That's a whole nother budget. That's a whole nother system. You have to figure out when is COVID ending before you could decide to start a whole system that has a budget attached to
and
it.
And there's the challenge in all of the adjusting, just trying to figure out when this thing is likely to end, which then directly impacts how you adjust and what plans you put in place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The other thing is that I realize that people see teaching really as the application of tests. and the application, just all worksheets and that sort of stuff. So people are talking about, oh, just send the paper. But they also need to be taught how to do it. We as teachers even see the issue when you teach a child how to subtract. The child knows how to do it in class. You send the child home with homework, and they come back and they're totally confused because uncle told them that the teacher doing it wrong and this is the way you're supposed to do it. And then we have all sorts of anarchy.
And it's a lot of children. It's not one child, you know. People think about their one child, which they are struggling to teach. Imagine a teacher, they have a classroom of children dealing with, and each child has different concerns or issues. So I think we need to be a little bit more sympathetic to the teachers as they themselves are also transitioning. They're home. They might have children and families, and as the point was made, they might not have devices. So it's a period where we have to pause a little bit, and the parents who are home have to do more on our end to teach the children until things get sorted out, because it's an abstract and absurd situation for everyone, including the teachers. And, you know, you can't say my child's not doing work. Where's the teacher? I bought double books for my kids, most of the books, because I knew that I wanted them to be able to practice at home. So, I mean, everybody can't do that or afford to do that, but YouTube, there's all sorts of different ways to make sure your child's brain is still being active in this time, and I think we need to utilize all methods until things are normalized, because the teachers, too, have to wait to hear what's happening.
Yes, because right now, I've set up my Google Classrooms. I can say, speaking to other teachers in Barbados and knowing what's obtaining, I can say that my school has actually been quite proactive in getting our classroom set up and getting information out to students and that sort of thing. I know from other schools that there's even a challenge in terms of even contacting parents, but that's another issue that I would get back to.
Yeah.
But the thing is that what I'm trying to do in my classroom is I can actually leave work. Well, it's really not work. What I've actually done, let me try not to speak general and speak specific. I have gone into my classroom because I have a classroom set up for each subject that I teach. And I have put up a copy of the charts that would have been on my walls in the classroom. So for the most part, it is familiar to the children. I then will ask basic questions of the children. The idea is that a parent may not be able to let this child log on because in one situation, I have a parent who's working from home and has three children, and they have one device.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is an issue. However, if at 7 o'clock, because she works until 5, if at 7 o'clock she wants to log into my classroom and show my student, oh, look, your teacher put this up here. Do you remember this? She's asked some questions. Can you spell this word? She can then copy those words because I've asked the parents to please have one book that the child can put words that they need to spell. And everything. That is something that can be done offline. They don't need the thing. But everything that is going to be done right now for e-learning and distance learning and any learning platform that we're doing now is going to require the parent or some responsible adult to intervene in this regard.
One of my concerns, because when we start working again, and if the children are still home, my biggest fear is exactly how am I going to get this all sorted for the children, because the parents need to work at the same time too. So that is the part, you know.
Because we have the challenge of creating a timetable, knowing very well that you're creating a timetable that will say at 10 o'clock on Monday, this is just drawing a suggestion. On 10 o'clock on Monday, the class fours are supposed to be doing, or let's say the class threes. The class threes are supposed to be doing math.
Mm-hmm.
And at 10 o'clock on the Monday, I teach infants B, the infant B's are supposed to be doing English. And at the same 10 o'clock, the class two is supposed to be doing science. And let's say we have a child, we have a household that has all of these children there. How is this going to be effectively done? I think that is part of the reason, of course, I'm just guessing, but I believe that that's part of the reason why it has been suggested that we do not teach anything new, because we know that we will not be able to have a face-to-face interaction with our students where they can ask questions at the same time if they're confused about anything. And that is why we're trying to do things like that. Going forward, I know that other things will have to be put in place if we have to continue with this in the long term. I am, however, kind of heartened by the effort that has been put in thus far. But yes, for everything, we will need the parents on board. And I do share and understand your, what should I say, your anxiety as to if this is to continue in the future, because it's going to be a reality, not just for you, but for many other people.
Yeah.
David, you wanted to say something?
Before I go back to the savings issue, I wanted to agree in large part with what both ladies are saying, because as I said on social media earlier this week, the challenges surrounding education right now are significant for both families, the children, the teachers, because this is not something we have had to do before or something that we had noticed that we needed to get ready for. Some will argue that it's a place we should have been progressing to, which I can agree with, but several factors govern that. So this has more or less come on us before we were ready for it. And I think we all have to be patient, both with the families and the students and with the teachers, because it's a learning experience for them as well. Many of the points that they made definitely support. I mean, this goes far beyond who has a tablet or a computer. You have to consider people's home environment. Is there ergonomic space for them to be even using a laptop or a computer? A family may have three children, but maybe only one desk space where somebody can work comfortably. Does everybody have access to internet? You raised a very valid point about parents working from home right now and either being able to share devices and supervise and assist children. What happens if workplaces open back up on a phased basis, but schools are still closed? So it's not as simple as who has a device and who doesn't. That's an important part. But I can see the total sense in not addressing anything new in terms of the school term, because we have to pick. It's almost like choosing the best option out of the worst, so to speak, right now, to at least keep children's minds and heads in the game when it comes to schoolwork.
All right, the music in the background, as I say, it's not only for dancing, but what we're going to do, we're going to use it as a signal to take us out for the 12:30 ladies. Let's think about this. What about recording some of the new stuff so we have it on demand? Let's think about that as we go to the news. When we come back, we're going to discuss that and more on this Brass Tack Sunday, where we are looking at adjusting to the new norm. But it's time for the latest from Starcom Network News. This is Brass Tack Sunday with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. For building supplies, big or small, and brilliant metals, we have it all.
Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more. Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing. Big or small, and brilliant metals, we have
it all. And brilliant metals, we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to this edition of Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries. We're on the line with David Simpson from ICAB. We have Chef Selena Dobson and my good friend teacher, Stacia Burrows. I had a pause there, Stacia. Sorry. We're talking about adjusting to the new norm. And before we took the latest, and I actually had an off-air discussion with Wendy Burt, and this whole idea of the new norm specifically in relation to training teachers to use technology and how that can be done, the media resource department at the Ministry of Education and so on. Lots of discuss. These are definitely not any normal times by any stretch of any imagination. But the whole idea is, how do we adapt and how do we adjust? So we go until quarter after one, and we continue to look at all the issues that are being raised here So I don't know if anyone wants to tackle and pick up from where we left off in looking at the whole idea of, as I put, recording the media, having it on demand so that no one is left behind.
Okay, so I'll jump back in here. First of all, let me just say I'm not the early childhood coordinator, mm-hmm. and I've changed schools. But what I will say is that I think this is also what I was talking about before, where the minister had alluded to them having content that would be broadcast in some other medium. I do know, or I would like to believe, that this is merely sort of like a stopgap, and we would have plans in place in case this goes on any further, where we will be rolling out new content as need be for a new school year, because obviously we can't keep repeating the same thing over and over. But it is, as we had discussed before, the method being used to keep little minds active and prepared for whatever comes next.
Okay. Any of the panelists we want to contribute before we go back to the lines on anything we would have said prior?
Okay.
Corey was just going to comment on the comment from one of the, I think it was that messages in terms of saving. Mm-hmm. I fully agree that saving needs to be prioritized, but what I don't want to do is to either, one, I don't want to overstate the challenges people face currently in saving, and neither do I want to understate the importance. But I think each individual has a responsibility to see what is possible in their own circumstances. It's easy for us to say set aside 5% of your net salary every month or net wage mm-hmm. every week and then spend the rest. But each person, we're talking about adjusting. Each person needs to know what them 5% may work for somebody, 15 may work for somebody. For another person, it may be 1%. But I think we also need to understand when we talk about saving, we don't just mean putting money on an account to access it in 2 weeks' time. That's not really saving. So we're talking about real saving and the ability to accumulate savings over the medium to long term, and that has to be a consistent effort from each paycheck or each paycheck.
Excellent, right. Excellent points.